This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Yeah, that's right. We're glad you could join us. It's time to sit back, get comfortable, talk about some weird stuff. Just chill. After Hours with the Buys Guys. Here's Matt Man at 9.
Yes, sir. I am Matt Man.
Yeah, you are. Last I checked, anyhow.
You 9.
Yeah, that's me.
Hey, son.
How you doing?
I'm well. Yourself?
I'm enjoying an apple.
You are. You know, there's nothing more that I hate to do than to... Well, talk shit while somebody's eating. But boy, something you did a moment ago and you're continuing to do now, it's like I'm sitting here and I'm crawling in my own skin, if that makes any sense. My skin's crawling.
What's that?
Because you picked up the apple off the counter and started eating it. And then you're like, oh, man, we got to tape the podcast. And then you laid it on the thing. And then, because you know how I am about, like, I'm not a germaphobe, because there's a lot of stuff that I do that is not germaphobic. Ish qualities, but that right there, oh, how are you accepting that into your mouth like that?
Because Paige wipes his room down. Like, it smells like Lysol wipes in here.
Yeah, but even then, do you want to, like, I don't know. I'm a weirdo. This is some great ASMR for people. Are there any weirdos out there that are into... Are you sitting there doodling yourself while you're listening to someone eat an apple?
I've read that it is quite popular in South Korea. No, nobody knows if it is in North Korea. It might be. But in South Korea, it's quite popular. There are some YouTubers who make money at,
eating apples.
Eating food. Eating whatever. Just eating on camera for the sound mainly. Like an ASMR thing. They make money at it, though.
Are they hot people or are they like really like large people? Because I could see both sides of that spectrum making...
Kind of both and in the middle, too.
I see.
Yeah.
No plain Jane's going to make any money doing that.
Probably that, too, yeah.
Okay. So really anyone can eat.
Anybody.
Is that what a foodie is? They're doing OnlyFans or eating nude?
I think foodies are people who like to eat, which is every human being on earth.
Hey, man. I'm the foodist, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm the EST of food.
I live in a foodist colony.
Ha-ha! Dang it!
Yeah.
I'll check the availability.
You know, if I'm in a movie, you have to advertise full frontal foodity.
Dude! You're on to something. I mean, Food Network alone would buy those puns.
Yeah.
Yeah. Foodity.
Full frontal foodity, man.
Foodity's got to be taken. But no, really. Was it a good apple?
Oh,
I was just
delicious.
Sitting there. I didn't want to say it while you were eating it until we were taping.
That was a Cosmic Crisp apple. It was good.
Yeah. I'm a weirdo, though. Like, I really am. You know, the infamous story now that two or three P1s routinely will send memes and stuff to remind me of the fact that I threw away a belt that the end of my belt touched the public urinal.
Yeah.
Do I need to say public urinal?
Like, well, you know, nobody has a urinal in the house.
No one has one at that. If you do, like, it's like, man, yeah, man cave. I got a urinal in my house. Like, what the hell?
But, yeah, it's, I mean, somebody does. Rich people, maybe.
Yeah. So the belt, I was undoing my belt, you know, I had to whip it out.
Yeah.
And it touched the urinal top of it, and I proceeded to take it off and throw it in the trash can.
Yeah.
Because I know there was piss particles from others.
Yeah, but they say urine is sterile.
Mine is. I don't know about everyone else's.
Well, if urine is sterile, it's not specifically that yours is. It's just in general, urine is sterile.
You know, and it's all mind over matter. It's mm-hmm. like I've said, I will go to many restaurants,
yeah.
but if I could see through them walls into that kitchen, I probably wouldn't eat at many of them restaurants.
There's one place. It's look, I've been there and the food was great, but I heard so many stories from vendors
don't
and stuff.
That,
well, you know.
Oh, do I?
Yeah.
Okay. Don't. Yeah.
But I heard so many stories from vendors and stuff that I haven't been there in well over a decade because of that. And it still does well, and I'm happy for them that they do because the food was good. I just heard the kitchen was not good.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, it's like mind over matter. It is. Again, there's things that I'm weird about with, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, I don't know. It's weird. Sharing a toothbrush with a girl's not that bad.
Yeah.
At all.
Well, it is, though. That's nasty as hell, man. If you really want to talk about something that's not sanitary, it's that.
But I've done that.
But
it's very
unsanitary.
I've also accepted kisses after her mouth was performing things on me.
Well, that too. But then again, like, you know, if you do that to each other, you might as well share a toothbrush, right?
Yeah. Up here, though, not back there. Yeah. I would not kiss her after that.
No.
I would not.
Lord, no. Lord, no.
He just gave me a good old country boy. Unfiltered, Lord, no.
Yeah.
Lord, no.
Yeah.
Hot almighty.
Oh, man.
What?
No, I was just thinking about that would not be good at all.
No.
No. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. For her or me. Mainly for her, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Whew. You good, though?
Yeah.
I was going to tell everybody, you know, the one thing that, if there's one thing that I don't like about doing this podcast, it's the lack of live interaction.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you start talking about all these plethora of things we talk about on here and the, you know, phone calls and stuff. But it's a podcast tape. So interaction, when you hear these conversations, I don't know if Jimmy agrees, but I enjoy the hell out of doing this. If you enjoy the episode, just tell us or interact with it. Like, we're talking to you, but we're talking to you from the past.
Yes.
You're listening to us in the future time right now.
Exactly, you are.
So keep that in consideration, but just let us know. Share it if you would, because, again, it's how that we are compensated for it is by people that listen.
Yeah.
And, again, you can we're at The Rise Guys on most of your social media. I am at O'Maffew. That is O-H-M-A-F-F-E-W.
See, I hope the rewind controls work. We're giving them a lot of information right now, so I hope the rewind controls are good. You know what I mean?
What do you mean? Like when I say at O'Maffew?
Well, if we do at The Rise Guys and then at O'Maffew and then mine as well all in a row, then, you know, that's a lot to take down at one time.
All right, don't do at The Rise Guys then.
We just did. I'll do mine later.
Okay.
I'll do mine then.
Well, that's smart. That's giving you people will get their phones out and get ready for it. I'll do mine then too.
Okay. Well, I'll do mine at the end of the next one then.
Okay. So, but your interaction is I really appreciate it.
I love talking to people, man. I live alone. My dogs don't have nothing to say. So the only people I talk to after I leave here is the people who text me and message me and snap me.
That's very true. So you say.
No, I mean, really, unless I go out.
But yeah, we appreciate the interaction.
Yeah.
With you on this podcast.
It's our lifeblood. It really is. We need you.
Yeah. Yeah. God,
we're desperate
for your
attention.
Something while folks get their phones out. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess the rewind and the pub, like when you go to the gym and stuff or go hiking or whatever, like I'll listen to maybe a podcast or usually music. I don't rewind music, but the pulse stuff. Yeah, let us know that too. That's interesting.
Let us know how the controls are. I don't know. About the only podcast I actively listen to is the Jim Cornette Experience. And Jim Cornette's drive-thru.
Yeah.
Like those.
Yeah. He doesn't pass off any misinformation.
No, he doesn't.
So, I won't say friend.
Someone you know?
Someone I know.
An acquaintance.
An acquaintance.
Yeah. I'm glad you don't just call everybody you know your friend, man.
No,
that bugs me.
We wouldn't be friends if there wasn't exchanging of money. And it's not a dude man either, if you're wondering. And it's not a prostitute or anything.
Okay.
It's a medical worker.
Yeah, I'm cool with dude man, but we're not friends, you know?
Yeah. Oh, he's going to be hurt. She? He?
No, I mean, I don't know.
Like, they don't really hang out otherwise. Not that I'm opposed to, and he probably wouldn't be either, but we never have, so we can't be friends. We're just these dude, man.
Yeah, remember like the Avon lady, when your mama would get like the Avon lady to come by? Like, she'd hang out for like 30 minutes. Like, just give me my makeup shit and get out.
Yeah, exactly.
So, an acquaintance. That sounds so bougie. An acquaintance of mine.
Well, somebody I know then.
Somebody I know went to see the Beach Boys.
Well, that'd be fun. I saw it one time after a Braves game. Did you go to that one?
At G Braves?
No, at Atlanta. LaLanta.
No. It was my mom and dad's second date.
Okay.
It was the Beach Boys. But so he, she, them go to see the Beach Boys perform.
Mm-hmm.
And she was remarking that, I said they.
That's fine.
Well, I don't want her to hear this and be mad. But they go to see the Beach Boys, and they're doing Little Deuce Coop. You familiar?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's all you got to do.
Yeah.
And the crowd was singing along, and it was the saddest thing in the world. Because they were like, it's like you, look.
I just picture them all sitting down to sing along.
They were.
In Hawaiian shirts.
Well, I don't know about that, but they were seated, and it was like, it was like old angels. You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
Like, it's like the oldest of angels in heaven were singing.
And a lot of people in that generation aren't going to sing along loudly and proudly because they're drowning in shame from a lifetime of being taught to be ashamed of everything.
It was depressing.
I can say that because not many of them podcast.
I don't know what a podcast is.
Yeah.
Well,
I ain't been fishing in years, man. I don't know what you're talking about.
She commented on there that she did not know, but John Stamos was in Greenville, and because he's a drummer for the Beach Boys, and he was in Greenville, and I was like, you know, they should advertise that.
Oh yeah. Well,
Beach Boys with Uncle Jesse on drums.
Back in the day, that would have been like the selling point in like 1992 or whenever that, you know, that would have been. But now it's because we would, back then we loved to go see somebody do something that ain't the thing they do normally. But now it's like, I think we've kind of.
You mean Michael Jordan playing baseball at G Brave Stadium?
Exactly. Packed house every time. Now it's almost like we've turned away from that into this kind of, why do I want to go see him do that? And a lot of it might be Jordan's fault now that you mention it.
Jordan and like Garth Brooks.
Yeah, people who just, you know, like left, you know, now everybody's stay in your lane thing. That's that kind of world now.
Yeah.
You do this, why are you trying to do that? The only exceptions really are wrestlers becoming actors nowadays.
Well. How does that work? What the Rock passes on, John Cena gets, and then Batista gets? Batista, then John Cena?
No, clearly not, because John Cena
does wrestling chronological
all kind of movies that The Rock would never, like, The Rock wouldn't have played that role in Suicide Squad. No, it takes place in a jungle, but it wasn't a role for him.
He wouldn't have done C Block either.
No, or Vacation Friends. The Rock only does, like, kids action movies in jungles, man. That's all he does now.
Yeah.
Yeah. John Cena's hilarious. John Cena, I enjoy John Cena movies way better than The Rock's movies.
Would you go see The Mamas and the Papas with Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
No. Yeah. No. Imagine what that'd be like.
Because we do this for a living. Yeah. I got to just paint this picture for you. This crowd of very docile people smiling ear to ear.
Well-to-do crowd at the Peace Center all the time.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I'm born and raised here, Greenville, South Carolina, but any performance that they have at that place is easily $75. It doesn't matter who it is. And one of my favorite bands of all time has been there 3 or 4 times, and I absolutely refuse to pay $100 per ticket to see Alabama.
Yeah.
I love them to death.
It's not the environment you want to go to see a show like that. Like Old Crow Medicine Show has played there. I don't want to see him play there because I've seen him play at the Georgia Theater in a drunken mess of a party, which that's what I want from that kind of music.
Yeah.
And general in my life, I like that better than sitting in nice clothes.
But you've got so the people are lightly singing along, you know, it's like reminding them of the doo-wop days or what. Can I say that anymore? Mm-hmm. And they're just reminding them. And then, And you've got the old Beach Boys. And I don't know if it's the same. I know some of them are dead. Well, a couple of them are dead. I know the one drowned. I'm not laughing at him drowning. I'm just saying the way I said
it. You leave
that
Dennis alone.
I thought it was Brian. Brian's alive?
I think so, yeah.
Which one's Wilson Phillips' daddy?
I don't know, man.
One of those.
Yeah, I know. I just don't know which one.
Well,
Wilson Phillips, I think, was like, I was Thomas a little kid when that happened.
Yeah. What? When they exploded on the music
Phillips.
Scene?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they're all just very old, frail guys, and they're doing very easy music because it's the same. And
you've Beach Boys tunes, yeah.
But then you got John Stamos, who, look, I don't know how old he is, and he looks great, and he's in great physical condition, and he's up there just going to town on those drums.
Oh yeah.
And then you've got the Beach Boys, the actual Beach Men. They're just swaying back and forth, and I'm like, they have to be in literal hell to keep going out there night after night and singing Lil Deuce Coupe and
Six Figures Apiece.
Surfing USA. Six Figures Apiece?
I mean, they make bank, man. Ticket price, and then, you know, they make bank off that stuff, I bet.
But they hate it, though.
They might. They might. Then again, maybe they love it. I can't say they hate it. I would hate it.
I'd hate going.
I mean, I love the songs, but, yeah, I don't want to hear them every day.
What about if Michael Jordan's on drums?
No, I don't want to do that. Man, back then, that was like, think about it, that would have been such a huge selling point for something in the late 80s or early 90s or any time before that, really. Back when, I've watched old episodes of some show, I can't remember the name of this thing, I'll try to look it up in a minute. It was, but they'd have, celebrities competing in like sports against each other and stuff.
Circus of the Stars.
I think it was something else, it was maybe before Circus of the Stars, it was more like athletic events, sporting events type of a base to it.
Tonight on Circus with the Stars. From Good Times is Jimmy J.J. Walker tonight.
Yeah.
He's going to be a tight walker. He's going to be walking across. Will he make it? Will he say dynamite? Dino maybe. Tune in tonight at 8, 7 Central.
See you.
CBS.
Oh, Battle the Network Stars. That's what I'm thinking.
Battle
of.
The Network. Yes. They would bring on the entire cast of
that
like Brady
Howard
Bunch.
That had Howard Cosell.
Brady,
can I say that?
You just can't say Jimmy the Greek.
Okay.
You would have like the cast of the Brady Bunch taking on whoever, you know, Partridge Family.
Yeah, let's see. I'm trying to find out. So here's some of the episodes, yeah.
Todd Bridges still does those same shows.
It was not just one show. It was the networks, the ABC, CBS, and NBC, when there were only three.
They would work together.
The very first episode hosted by Cosell, you had the Gabe Kaplan.
He's from Barney Miller.
I'll just do the big names, like the ones that everybody knows.
Let's see if I could. Is Loretta Swit on this?
Linda
list?
Carter?
Oh, she was Wonder Woman.
Farrah Fawcett?
She died of butt cancer.
Ron Howard?
Opie.
Hal Linden?
Barney Miller as well, I think.
Penny Marshall? That's ABC's team.
Laverne and Shirley.
CBS had Telly Savalas as a captain.
Kojak.
And then you had Adrian Barbeau.
She had big titties.
Gary Berghoff.
Sounds like he's doing something.
That's Radar. Himself. That's Radar.
Really? His name was Gary Berghoff?
Yeah, yeah. Mm. And then Loretta Swit.
I said that, and she was on all those shows.
And Jimmy Walker.
Dynamite.
And then Team NBC had Robert Conrad as the captain.
I don't know him.
And then he was on something. I can't remember off the top
Robert
of my head.
Conrad.
He was on the Wild Wild West as his biggest role. Yeah. Bob Conrad. You had Melissa Sue Anderson.
What about Cassius Clay?
Tim Matheson.
Man, they had a weak roster.
Damon Wilson.
Hey, Lamont.
Yeah,
you
Lamont was
dummy.
On there.
You big dummy.
And get this. So they would. All right. So
LaWanda Page.
They would do things like swimming relay, tennis, golf, basketball dunk contest, a bicycle relay, an obstacle course, volleyball, a running relay, a tug of war.
Tug.
They did kayak relays. They did baseball events.
Put celebrities of the network stars in the Olympics, then I'll watch.
Yeah, the 3-on-3 football was an event.
See, it was a train wreck, but it was fun. All the things celebrities do now is like put on disguises and sing.
Yeah, and some of the other ones, this is like an annual special they did. Some of the other ones, man, I'm seeing people like LeVar Burton made it in. Christy McNichol made it in. Jacqueline Smith, Sonny Bono.
Reading Rainbow. He died skiing.
Linda Lavin was on it. Rob Reiner.
She was Alice. He was Meathead.
Jane Seymour was on it. Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell. Surviving in New York. Something like that.
Yeah, Escape from New York.
That's the one.
Yeah, Fred Berry did it. Billy Crystal did
Rerun.
It.
Rerun.
Yeah, man. Cheryl Ladd. Suzanne Summers. Valerie Bertinelli. Jamie Farr. That's Corporal Klinger.
God bless.
Yeah. Jimmy McNichol.
Where is Bonaduce? I mean,
I haven't seen him yet. There's Patrick Duffy's first appearance
from TV's Dallas.
Yeah, you got everybody. Debbie Boone, Daryl Dragon.
Dragon what?
Daryl Dragon, the guy from Captain and Tennille.
What?
The guy's name was Daryl Dragon, and what? He went by Captain instead of Daryl Dragon.
No.
Yeah.
God, I didn't know that. Yeah. Was Tennille the lady's name?
He was born Daryl Frank Dragon.
Didn't he dress like a captain? He sat at the piano and he dressed like a captain and should be this hot girl singing.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, man, he was awesome. But yeah, it's just every year they
did
this.
Was Loggins and Messina, Joe D. Messina with Kenny Loggins?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll get back to you.
I'm looking to see how far they went with this. Looks like they did one or two a year from like 1976 through 1988. Yeah.
I don't know if I would. I don't know if I would watch that.
Well, you don't want to watch Olivia Dalbo playing golf?
Dude, that's Ellen Griswold.
That's the mom from Wonder Years. Beverly D'Angelo.
Beverly D'Angelo. Olivia Dalbo?
Yeah, she's the mom from Wonder Years.
It's not Dalbo?
I don't know. I said Dalbo. Nicolette Sheridan. You want to see Nicolette Sheridan and Nicolette Sheridan and Charlene Tilton play it like swimming?
That was Lucy Dallas.
Yeah, it was, man.
God.
Man, ABC always had the worst team. What, like the last one they did, they had like Blair Underwood, Malcolm Jamal Warner, Tina Yeathers.
She was the ugly daughter on that show with Michael J. Fox.
Yeah.
Show me, no.
What was Family that?
Family Ties. Family Ties.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, man. That's back then, I would watch that. Oh, no, I wouldn't now because now the network stars aren't like they were back then, obviously.
There's also too many networks now.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't have, you know.
You can't have
4,000.
You can't have 4,000 teams for the thing.
No.
That's something that only, it worked in its time because of the time and place. Oh, man, we got to take a break real quick. Hang on.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Howard Cosell.
Yeah. They just agreed that, he's going to host it. Obviously, he is.
Yeah. You think he hated that?
It's
these people out here are not athletes, but I have to give it the same call.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, man.
That was one, man, that throws me back to my childhood, because I remember doing that. I didn't know who the hell Howard Cosell was. I remember my grandpa would talk about Howard Cosell and how he likened it to wrestling, because he would say that, you know, obviously I wasn't alive during Muhammad Ali's success run or whatever.
Yeah.
But my grandpa would talk about how they would josh each other back and forth, and it was all a routine.
Yeah.
And he likened it to wrestling. And when I did an impression as a kid of Howard, because it's really just the cadence.
Yeah.
But you got to remember, my balls hadn't dropped yet.
Mm-hmm.
So young voice. And I remember everybody, two or three people in my family telling me to do the Howard Cosell. And I don't know if I did it good or if it was just stupid and they were making fun of me.
Yeah, man. It seemed like anytime anybody, when I was growing up, anytime anybody did something like that, it was because they thought they wanted to laugh at it for the reasons I didn't want them to laugh at.
Foot. All these years, yeah. I thought I did it good.
Well, you got to think, man.
It could go all the way.
Our parents' generation was also a very insecure generation. And they took it out on us in a major way.
Whose fault, though, is that ultimately? Is it our grandparents' fault? But then you say, God, man, maybe it was our great-grandparents' fault.
Yeah, I don't know when that started. But that seems like something that dates back to, like, I don't know, Victorian times or something.
Where, like, family was looked at as, like, workers on the farm, like your employees, and you just...
I'm just talking about the judgment and that kind of thing. The judgment that bred the insecurities.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I think it's baby boomers for sure.
Oh, yeah. But where did they get it? They got it somewhere.
I think it's the painting of American society back then. I think about that a lot of times because I remember as a kid watching movies and stuff about the 50s.
Yeah.
And, you know, this one thing sticks out is driving up to a service station, mm-hmm. guys in white suits would run out, pump your gas for you, clean. Everybody's real nice to each other. Milkmen, all this. Everybody's real nice.
Yeah.
But then you talk to your grandma or your parents or whatever and say, that was the movies. People were assholes then, too.
Yeah.
There was service stations, but people didn't run out and smile real big and blank your blank because you were there.
Yeah.
It's just that American portrait that's been painted where we feel like the previous generation, they were just so much nicer to each other. But the fact is, we wasn't. We've always been scoundrels.
Yeah. I think baby boomers also, I think a lot of that came from, now that I think about it, they had it so good, and they heard about how good they had it, because they were raised by people who'd been through two world wars and a damn Great Depression, too. They were raised by people who went through all that stuff, Prohibition, Great Depression, two world wars. Their grandparents probably remember the Civil War, some of them, the old ones.
Which one of them started the old moniker that I gave birth to you, and if you don't like it, I'll kill you, too? You remember that?
Oh, yeah. I brought you into this world. I'd take you out of it. Yeah.
What an awful thing. I was told that so, and I know it was kind of an elbow to the ribs, kind of,
Those were the same women who'd go to the beach and buy the t-shirts. Yeah, I'm a bitch. And that's all it would say.
No.
I get this. My mom would run around with these pink sparkle glitter plastic keychains from the beach. Like, yeah, I'm a bitch. Absolutely, yeah.
Your mom?
Yeah, in the early 90s, yeah.
Was she?
Well, remember back in the day, I was scared to go to Kmart with her because every time we went, she screamed at somebody before she started taking medicine.
But yeah, but I mean, was it like back then when a woman would say that, like now it's like bad bitch, boss bitch.
Dude.
But back then, was it like she was being a C word?
When I was a little kid, she had this night shirt that, you know, a sleeping shirt that she would wear sometimes. And I really liked it. And I wound up wearing it more than she did. And it came from a store at the beach. And this some bitch, man, I'd be like 5 years old running around in this giant oversized shirt, looked like a nightgown on me, and this damn shirt said, yield, it's more fun. I had no idea what that meant, that it was about sex.
Oh, my God.
But I'm wearing my mom's sex shirt
my God.
Around the house as a little kid.
I got a vein in my forehead because if it pops, you did it. Charge it. Oh, man.
Yeah, man.
Matt Manslaughter. Yeah. What you going to get?
Matt Manslaughter, that's funny.
Golly, man. Yeah, man.
I wore that shirt all the time growing up, dude.
Yield.
It's more fun. It's like, you know, slow down while you're having sex with me. That's what it said.
Was it like a yield sign?
Yeah, it had a yield sign on it. It said yield. And then underneath, and you know, that cool italic cursive looking 90s, like early 90s, late 80s font everything had. Everything in neon was in that font. It said, yield, it's more fun.
And you would wear this, and you were how old?
Like, 5, 6, 7, 8. Until I figured out what it meant, then I quit wearing it, probably.
Oh, God bless.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I brought home a shirt one time from
the
beach.
We just called it the yield shirt.
I brought home a shirt one time from the beach that my mama took for me. And, I thought it was the funniest thing. And when my daddy saw it, like, my daddy, he never really, like, laughed out loud. He'd give you, like, he had a funny little laugh, but he'd also give you like the eye roll back, like, oh,
yeah.
Oh, Matthew. But it said FBI real big, and then it said female body inspector. And my mom took that for me. And it was just a fun little shirt.
It was. I used to want that pot leaf shirt as a kid. My mom would not let me get it. And she let me get just about any damn thing I wanted, man. But not that pot leaf t-shirt. Wouldn't let me have that.
Hey, man, you a Pearl Jam fan?
Yeah.
God bless
you. Yeah, man. This was way pre-yield.
You gave me a fun headache.
That's good. I'm glad
it's
you
like
have
a fun
headache.
Laughing hangover right now.
Yeah, I get it, man. I totally get it.
I picture you. What color was the shirt?
It was a white shirt with a big orange yield sign on it. Big oversized night shirt.
What was the other one that said PMS real big? And it said, like,
I don't remember.
Pretty Mean Sister?
That was from wrestling. That was Terry Reynolds and Miss Jacqueline. They were PMS.
God bless.
Yeah.
Wow. I love thinking about the old days, but sometimes I hate thinking about them, too.
Dude, you know what I read this morning? It's interesting that we didn't get to it on our other show or anything, so I'll tell you right now because I didn't tell you this yet.
Hmm.
There are still people using AOL dial-up service in America.
How?
Well, they still offer the service, and the number is in the low thousands. So I imagine fewer than 10,000, the low thousands. But a few thousand, several thousand people in this country are still using AOL 56K modem dial-up internet.
Doing the burner,
yeah, dialing in just like you used to, man, using AOL service. And probably, I guess they have to use the AOL app too, I guess, if they still have one. The application?
Wow.
The program it used to be called?
Why is that? I mean, is it because they don't have internet?
They could be in such rural places that they have phone, but they don't have any broadband, or whatever their reasoning is that they don't want to embrace broadband or whatever.
That's weird. Just
ornery folk, maybe. Some ornery people.
Oh, or is it people that are trying to, like...
Or people who wear tinfoil hats, probably.
I was going to say off-the-grid people.
Yeah, those types, but still want some internet access, they'll dial in.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool as hell. They right. still get it, like... Yeah, because you could go in there, like, they still get in the chat rooms and stuff?
I don't know, man. I don't know what they do with it. I just saw that there's still several thousand people in America using AOL 56K dial-up modems.
It probably gets in it. Because remember when they got rid of, Blackberries here recently? Like, there was a handful of people still using Blackberry?
Yeah, some of their products went away, RIM.
Yeah. Ooh.
They cut some RIM jobs, I heard.
Oh, poor thing.
This Research in Motion company makes Blackberries. Don't get it twisted.
Don't get excited. Those other ones are still available.
Yeah.
God bless, man.
Yeah.
You gave me a good laugh. I hope nobody was listening to that driving down the road.
Man, the AOL dial-up thing is one of my favorite nostalgia things, just because that's when the internet was fun.
You also didn't have a sibling living with you.
Yeah, I didn't. But the
hell.
It would make it frustrating, but at the same time, the internet back then was used strictly as a fun tool and a fun thing, and it wasn't everybody arguing about stuff and canceling each other and politics and all that horseshit.
Well, you know, you think about this with the internet. Certainly, I think somehow, some way, our paths would have crossed, Jimmy. But we met in person.
Mm-hmm.
But to start off, we met talking about wrestling on just email exchange back and forth.
Yeah,
and then on some kind of wrestling message board.
Exactly. Yeah,
and then I've made friends and stuff with a bunch of people off the internet.
Yeah.
But, like, you think about if that technology never existed, would you ever have known those people in your life?
Yeah, and how much harder would it have been for dudes like us to get away from our upbringing if not for that?
See, is that what it is? Everybody's, because we're talking.
By that I mean the Mill Hill trashiness.
But everybody's like, the drugs are an escape, or, you know, now people with like the VR stuff, it's like this escape. Like, that is not the escape I want.
No. It's not the escape I want. I like life, though. I don't want to escape from life.
Yeah, but that, like, I feel like, look, I'm not.
I haven't plumb burnt mine amazingly.
I ain't, not same. I ain't judging anybody. Like, if you want to go do all that stuff, you do your gaming and virtual concerts.
If you
want
to live in metaverses, it's fine. I just don't choose to.
Like, I feel like you, like, the outside world is so much cooler. I don't know, man. It's such a weird thing. Like, I think you need to, like, talk to somebody.
Yeah, it's one of those things that's going unchecked, and it is going to be, like, a dangerously addictive thing for a lot of people. It's going to prey on certain mental illnesses and certain people's weaknesses and certain psychological impairments, whatever the case may be. It's one of those things that is going to go unchecked, and it should be checked in some way for the betterment of people in general. Because, I mean, hell, we're still telling people they can't gamble. We're still telling people they can't smoke weed in some states. We're still telling people that all kind of rules to follow. But and these new things that come up now, there are no rules put in place in order to, air quotes, protect them from this thing that could be very good or used for bad.
Yeah.
That's basically what it is. We used to make rules for things at some point. Now we don't really, we let them get way out of hand before anything's ever done about it, which they did with everything else, too. I mean, the war on drugs, we're 40 years into the war on drugs. You know, you can call a dude right now and have weed delivered to your house in 2 hours.
That fast.
Yeah.
Takes longer than that to get Cracker Barrel sometimes.
It does, man, right? I mean, yeah. And, I mean, that's just the truth of the matter. But we're 48 years into the war on drugs. Go us.
You know, like, with I have to say this. Like, with the fentanyl and stuff now, like, you said something that, like, I don't know if it was on today's show or something, yesterday you said, Nine, where you were, like, you were talking about cocaine, and you said with fentanyl, and you're like, if they would just legalize cocaine, then we wouldn't have all these people overdosing.
Exactly.
And I thought about it, and I was like, boy, that's crazy to say. But then again, that's almost like, but then, okay, well, people say, well, what about me, though? I like fentanyl.
Yeah.
Where does the line stop? Because I agree with it in an odd way. I don't want to do cocaine, but I'm just saying, like, it's almost like, Let everything be legal, let everybody figure it out or whatever. But the problem with that, to me, is a lot of these people fall back on the system, and then the taxes are going to go up regardless.
Yeah, well, as it is, we're supporting them all in prison anyway.
Yeah.
Or in some other manner, Yeah, so it's the same thing in the end, except it's better for them. Fewer people actually die from it.
God, what a mind F that really is. Because, you know,
and those people today shine a light on that, too, because they were in town to party for the weekend, and they got some laced cocaine is what it seems like what happened, and these people were first responders.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's who's doing this on the weekends. That's who's doing a little toot-toot on the weekends is people like you and everybody you know.
Well,
it's not just these. I mean, think about it. If something costs $100 a gram, you got to have money to do it.
Yeah. Is that how much it goes?
It's not for scumbags.
Dog. I had no idea.
Yeah, I mean, really, like, not that scumbags don't do things like that, but, I mean, these are people with, like, good jobs and lives and property-owning, like, productive members of society doing this stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
same thing. It's like that's the same people who are smoking weed and stuff. It's productive members of society more often than not.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's business owners and entrepreneurs and the lifeblood of America and veterans and all kind of people, man.
But God, there's a great point there that I was trying, and not that you.
No,
I was,
but you were talking about the legalization.
Well, yeah, making
and where, like, the line is with that fentanyl and all that.
Yeah, where does it? Because then. Fentanyl, this is what I get from it, and again, I don't know. It's like, because cocaine is so expensive or whatever, I don't know, that they put this in there to cut it, and it's so much readily available. Or some people say other countries are infiltrating it to try to kill us.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where it comes
from.
Is
that the political spin on it?
But I know that if it's killing people and it's killing more and more people all the time,
oh, I know what it's.
Then if somebody wanted it, could go to the store, then it wouldn't be in there at that point, you know? And it like, look, you can't save everybody, and you can't let them just, like, I'm not saying you got to let people go buy all the cocaine they want, because that's bad to do, but if you legalized it, regulated it, kind of like the legal states, there's a certain amount of weed you can buy in a state where weed is legal, right? You can do the same with anything if you wanted to, with any substance, they call them controlled substances, control the damn things.
If cocaine is ever legalized in America, which will be the first state?
I mean, probably California, I guess.
Probably California, because they need the
Florida stands to make the most tax money off of it.
I was thinking with
Florida and Texas, but you know, Texas.
The point with the prison thing is, like, you know, most people have come to terms with the fact they're, like, all privately owned, a lot of them.
Yeah.
And the CEOs, the correctional officers, are not paid that well.
No.
Think about the horrid life. You leave your home to go work, and you're going to prison for 9-10 hours a day.
Yeah.
And you're not getting paid that well, and the prisoners, whatever, and these prisoners might say, hey, look, man, I'll give you $100, sneak me a cell phone in. They're going to do it because they are getting screwed over by the system.
Yeah.
And the prisoners, a lot of them, getting screwed over by the system.
Yeah.
And everybody out here on the outside knows that everybody's getting screwed by it. The system is the privately owned prisons.
Yeah.
But nobody does anything about it.
It's a
weird. And I don't know, like, take the streets. I don't know what you do, but, like, what a weird kind of hierarchy that is, I don't know, it's just a big epiphany.
It was a major, major malfunction to start calling anything like the war on drugs. Because then it becomes, well, we can't give into it because then we've lost the war. But it isn't about winning and losing. It's about managing problems and managing, like New York City's opening those supervised shoot-up sites where people who are the heroin can go and shoot up with clean needles in a safe place or whatever.
Oh, man.
Now,
I'm hard-pressed to even...
But what's the better option? Because currently what you have is a bunch of people passed out on the sidewalks in Manhattan with tourists stepping over their passed out bodies with needles hanging out of their arms.
What would you do? Pick them up?
Yeah, what are you going to do? You can't lock them all up. You can't lock them all up. You can't stop them from getting the drugs. You can't stop the drugs from getting here. You don't really have an option better than giving them some place to go do it where they aren't in the way of the tourists.
But
because it's going to hurt tourism and cost you money.
Where do we keep... It almost hurts my head the way you joked it earlier to even argue this point, because as I start to line up my argument here, yeah. I'm starting to disagree with myself.
I understand.
Because it's like...
I do that to people all the time.
I agree with it. Shut up. It's not that. It's like with the cocaine thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Productive people, this and that. Make it legal. But then where does that stop, though? And then with the supervised injection sites for people that are doing heroin or whatever, where does that stop? What about people say, well, I want to do my crack? And I'm making this as a proverbial kind of argument here.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to think about, because there has to be some line before we say, you know, everything's legal. Because then you got to have a little bit of legal... Some things have got to be illegal.
You have to manage the current problem because you can't cut it off and stop it. There's no cold turkey in the problem where it just goes away. So you have to manage that, and then you have to work. The prevention measures go to the following generations. You try to prevent it. I don't know how. Again, there's people educated in these things who know a lot more about that stuff than I do. I'm not qualified, but some people are. So they could take preventative measures for the youth and the younger generations and the people who haven't been born yet, and then your numbers go down for those generations. But certainly you're not going to just stop it with people who've already been addicted to it and all that. You're not going to stop it as it is, but you can lessen it for the future. But it's never going to go away completely. All you can do is manage it. You can't beat it, and that's why it's calling it a war is a stupid thing to do, because you've started a war you literally will never be able to win no matter what you do.
What's a war? A more subtle way to say war.
You can't look at it like a war or a competition. You can't look at it like the win and lose thing. It's about managing it.
Battle of the network drugs.
It's not a battle. It's not about winning and losing. It's about managing a situation.
But.
Like, you don't beat a hurricane, you manage what it does. You don't beat an earthquake, you manage the damage.
I rock you like one.
Yeah.
But what happens is you have the people who've known somebody who's dealt with addiction, or they themselves have this, that, the other. But then you got some people over here who've never been touched by addiction.
Yeah.
And say, well, who's going to pay for it?
Well, no, they need to just listen to somebody who knows about it instead of just trying to act like they know something they don't know. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, but it's what it does, and it's a whole divide and conquer thing.
Is.
But it's like the hardworking men and women of America, that I'm talking about, the hardworking ones, the ones that are truly getting screwed over by the system.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They've kept their nose clean, proverbially, whatever. So they may drink or what. My point here is that they feel as though, well, if I've been able to do this way, then they should be able to.
Mm-hmm.
And on one hand, their heart's in the right place because, you know, they help their fellow man.
Absolutely right.
But when it comes to that, though, if it affects their pocketbook, they're like, well, I don't care that much. It's a weird, like, community standard guidelines that's laid out there as human beings that we disagree with both sides on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's like
I
liken to, if there's some kind of, if it hits the fan one day, you're going to say, well, you may say, well, yeah, I stand with Greenville. And then you're going to say, well, I stand with my neighborhood. And then you're going to stand with your street. And then when your neighbor's hungry, you're going to make sure you're people are fed first. It all kind of closes in that way.
Yeah.
Where does the line go before we look at it as, no, we're not going to keep coddling people, because that's the pussification of America.
It is, but what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Like, what do you do with them?
You
They're either going to die on the streets, you're going to lock them up for what?
Well, the thing with like New York,
there's
Times
no
Square,
facilities for them. You don't really have a reason to put them in one forever.
But would we care if they were not the eyesore?
I mean, I think that is one of the reasons places like New York are doing that, so they're not hurting tourism and taking
money.
Because then it affects everybody's pocketbook.
The mass exodus.
Because if you lose tourist money, then it hits your pocketbook and your tax book.
Yeah.
I mean, then it hits your pocketbook every time you get paid on taxes or whenever you do your taxes as a business owner, whatever. Then you pay for it because it's hurt your tourism and taking that money out of your economy. So which is better?
How'd they get rid of the pigeons?
They didn't up there. They still got them.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, they do. It's all tricky, but yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, I don't have all the answers. I'm certainly not advocating to legalize everything. I'm just saying that, look, those people wouldn't have had that problem up over the weekend if they bought it at a store, because it would have been clean then.
Clean Coke.
Yeah, and they would have had the little party and everybody would have been fine and they wouldn't have wound up with the law involved and they're all probably going to lose their damn jobs and somebody's going to get divorced and somebody's not going to see their kids but every other weekend. I mean, that's what ruins lives.
It's a weird thing. It's giving me like a headache that I don't want. I care about people, but you know how I've said this before. And at first I was like, God, shame on you for saying that. It's very judgmental. But so many people that have dealt with it agreed. It's like when I see someone who is a product of addiction, mm-hmm. And they have no friends left. They have no family left.
Yeah.
They have nothing.
And I'm burned like, every bridge, man.
How could a parent ever forsake their kids like that? It's like cause the bridge has been
burned.
There's
a point where you do.
Cut them off.
Yeah.
And so
there's certain drugs that if I know somebody messes with them, I don't have anything to do with them. Not that I dislike them. Not that I have a problem with them personally. I could like them all. I could be a real sweet person. I just don't want to deal with it.
But then, you know, all those people, but then we show this compassion to the faces we don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not, yeah, and I would have compassion for the people I know. I don't want anything to do with them personally, yeah. But I have the same level of compassion for them as I do for these other people.
It's like if they say, hey, man, I need $50 to fix my car. You're like, huh? You ain't going to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. It's tough being a human being.
It is, man. It is tough. And again, I have no idea how to manage it, but it's got to be more about managing it than trying to beat it because you can't beat it. And they know that, and whenever they talk about beating it, they're just, you know, I don't know, trying to get more tanks for the sheriff's department or something, or armored personnel carriers.
Is that what Michael Jackson was singing about? Was that an anti-drug song?
No, it was about jerking off.
Oh, it was. I didn't understand that. That's why the white glove. It makes sense now.
You're right.
Jimmy, I tell you what, it's been a trip down memory lane. I had a laughing headache, and then I got a ethics headache.
Right.
Well.
That, man, we went all over the place with that one, but it was, what a series of good conversations, I guess. It seemed fun to me.
Yeah.
I hope you enjoyed it.
I did, too. I really did. If you want to hit us up on social media, you can go last. I am at O'Maffew. That's O-H-M-A-F-F-E-W. I'm on Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah, man. You hit me up, too. I'm on all that shit.
Check him out.
You can find me on Snap. I'm 9 from TRG, at Nueve on Twitter. And if you send me Instagram messages, I won't see them for a week, and you'll be mad at me, so don't do that.
Okay, cool. For Jimmy, Jack, Jackie, I'm Matthew. This has been After Hours with the Rives guys.
Thank you.
All right. Get out. Time to close the doors on another episode. After Hours with the Rise Guys. Subscribe wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Pass it around to your family and friends and other P1s. Thanks for listening. See you next time. Yeah.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.